In the Gaza Strip, meanwhile, residents prepare to commemorate the first anniversary of the war in Gaza, which claimed well over 1,000 Palestinian lives, many of them civilian women and children. The three-week air and ground attack by Israeli forces was sparked by the intensification of Palestinian rocket fire into Israeli towns close to the border with Gaza. Both Palestinian militants and the Israeli Defense Forces were found guilty of war crimes in the Goldstein report on the conflict published last September. The devastation caused by the bombings to homes, small businesses and infrastructure compounded a chronic humanitarian crisis provoked by tight border controls that confine Gaza residents as virtual prisoners within the small coastal territory. Among the humanitarian organizations working to ease the plight of the population there is Caritas Jerusalem, supported by the Global Confederation of Catholic Aid and Development Agencies. Joe Donnelly represents Caritas at the UN in New York and is a special advisor on reconciliation and peacebuilding. I asked him how much progress has been made 1 year on from that Gaza conflict.
Sadly to say that the various sanctions and border controls and restrictions have not only contained the Palestinian population within the Gaza borders, have also through these years only in very slim degrees of change allowed building materials and supplies into the Gaza. Things, frankly, as absurd in the early days of no pencils, no paper for school, down to more substantial issues like cement and wood and building materials. So there has been, of recent months, some opening up of those restrictions, but the sheer rate of that movement of supplies into Gaza prevented any substantial development. What I would say is that there has been a greater access of some medical supplies and equipment to get into Gaza to help rebuild. But by the same token, the abnormality of the lack of movement on those kind of things has sustained the crisis situation. There's a resiliency amongst the people once the sort of imminent fear of danger today, but resiliency around making the best with what you have and increasingly sharing those demands between UNRWA, between the Palestinian Authority, and between NGOs, both local NGOs and international NGOs, and then the role of the church. While the population of Gaza is predominantly Muslim, there are about 2,000-3,000 Christians, but the presence of Christian-inspired agencies and Catholic agencies in the Gaza is highly notable.
Caritas's own clinic was destroyed during the Gaza war, wasn't it? What kind of rehabilitation has gone on there? Is it functioning today?
Everything that Caritas did before December 2008 is back in motion today. Again, despite the sort of sense of the vastness of this conflict, Gaza is considered, if not the most, one of the most intensely populated and managed populations in a limited space in the world. So that sense of piggybacking on what half of what worked before is rebuilt, and then local communities, local families, store owners will often just readily say, in order to help your work not slow down, use our back wall for supplies, use our this or use that. So that spirit of walking with one another goes on, and then Caritas volunteers and staff on the ground in Gaza, and then those based in Jerusalem and West Bank, they would develop this network of, hey, you got that, we have that, let's use that, let's call them. So that works fairly well as long as there isn't daily physical violence that would prevent those sort of negotiating patterns. And in places where there isn't communication, there aren't phones, there aren't networks, of course, sometimes you have to go to the site to see what you can do, meet the person there. And then, of course, that dynamic of right relationships. These are people trying to help. Okay, let's help them help us. So that's what keeps the program growing. And certainly the Catholic world's response generously to Caritas on the ground has been enormous to keep it going. So one of the paradoxes is, of course, that there could be resources, but then can the resources get in there quick enough, etc. But at the moment, at least, we would say that there's been a huge groundswell of support, but that can never compensate for the lack of freedom.
You mentioned the small Catholic community there. They have a new parish priest, don't they, since the war years. Father Moussalam, who'd been there for so long, has been replaced by a younger priest who's come in to take care of that community. What is the spirit there now? What is the atmosphere 1 year on from this war?
Especially in light of recognizing the 60th anniversary of Gaza as we moved into the autumn season, and then looking toward Christmas time and the crisis last year, you know, one only has to look at so much of the joyful, hopeful, peaceful, if you will, romanticism of ancient holiday hymns and wonder, how does the weary world rejoice? And what a silent night in the bleakness of a refugee camp can be like. And people live on that incredible cutting edge of almost despair. But the level of lived faith in Christians and Muslims in Gaza is extraordinary. And very little airtime, frankly, has been given to that reality. On the other side of it is that sense of, as we had some colleagues speak to us in last month, saying, we are grateful that there is a 60th recognition of the work of UNRWA. We are grateful that on November 29th, it was International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. But we are weary with waiting that something happens from all of that. There is a recognition, though, on the ground that no longer can it be said that people don't know what's wrong, don't know what's happening. And many Israeli colleagues in both inside Israel and outside would today be much more astute about that search, and have, in many cases on the human rights side, accompanied that sense of, this is so abnormal for an entire population to exist this way. So even in the light of borders and walls and checkpoints, one of the extraordinary paradoxes is that people, by and large, don't give up. And their rootedness in their rights as human beings and their dignity is remarkable. And so part of our work, even with whatever logistic and support dynamics happens, is to be steadfast, which is an imperative word in the Palestinian lexicon. To be steadfast doesn't mean to be naive, to romanticize, but to hold on to your dignity and to persevere, so that even if you are not the direct beneficiary, your children or your grandchildren will be, your neighbor will be, your partners and colleagues in the hospitals and the various works, which again is an aspect of internal solidarity that is hardly ever aired. But it would be my opinion, as someone representing church work on the ground there for 20 plus years, that is why the community survives and is sustained.
And yet there is a sense that the outside world has lost interest, isn't there?
There is an overwhelming sense that the outside world, if not has lost interest, has lost the sense that they can change the situation. There is a call within, I think, within the Arab world and within Palestinian society, and a very deep one, that basically to be healed in this conflict, we must heal ourselves. And so the rift between Gaza and Ramallah, between Gaza and the West Bank, between Hamas and Fatah must be reconciled. People on the ground have less patience for that internal dynamic, which has been exacerbated by other violence. But there is a growing challenge to the status quo internally that we must move on beyond that. And we must admit this fault everywhere. And we must admit that without reconciling ourselves to each other, our hopes that we would be able to offer ourselves as a predictable peace partner keep shrinking. It's fair to say that at this moment in time, which becomes pretty much a benchmark for movement, that many stakeholders and officials within the Israeli community recognize that in President Abbas they have a peace partner, that he has behind him very capable, professional government officials, experts in all kinds of human society issues, civil society and professional sectors, so that to lose this moment, which constantly is so hard to get to, would be to throw everything and everyone back very far. So there is a growing capacity of Palestinian civil society to not only understand their rights, but to understand in practical ways. We can't always be saying it isn't our responsibility or we didn't create this problem, but rather to seize the day in a way that says so much is at stake, we must seize this opportunity. So there's a push right now to hold that moment in very much clarity.
Is there any greater political will, though, on the part of the Palestinian leaders to really bridge this gap between Fatah and Hamas or not?
It appears to us there is. There is pressure on, healthy pressure, on President Abbas, who has been steadfast, has been moderate in working through, to say, even if you're very tired, this is not the moment to give up. And so I think I know for a fact that the Christian world, both in the region and beyond, is also affirming that you have been a broker, a proponent for peace, a proponent for, despite our differences, amidst our diversity, we could achieve something more. And I think it is particularly of note that many, many governments in the region have been reminding him and the Palestinian Authority that this is a moment. How we read what they do locally, internally, is always problematic because the art of circumlocution, many of us would say, was born in the region. But the other dimension of that is, but are people talking? So the answer to that is yes, people are talking. And I think because it's so extended, it's so controversial and provocative, I would be a proponent of indeed, in fact, many things that are breaking ground are not publicly exposed to the nth degree. And that's why Oslo many years ago, though maybe having fallen off the mark now, it stunned people into yes, we can kind of rhetoric. And in fact, and I lived there during that time, things happened. So that's the hope at this moment. And I know that there are some Palestinian delegations beginning to travel again, and some do in Washington and in New York at UN headquarters and other locations, to say we're ready, to say we have something to put on the table. And we know that there are Israeli corresponding leaders who are saying we're listening.
Joe Donnelly represents Caritas at the UN in New York and is a special advisor on reconciliation and peace building.